Be seated. All right. All right. So, here we go. So, and I'm doing things in completely different order today. Some of you guys are like, man, what's going on? We did the offering, and now he's singing the song. And yeah, you guys know. I'm telling you, I've been going through stuff in my mind all week. So, I mean, this come out a little crazy. But here we go. The reason why I played this song, The Birds and the Bees, is because very recently I've had a very powerful shift in my relationship with both of the two characters in that song. Truly. Let me explain, and I'll start with the female honeybee. The female honeybee, and see now, growing up, the only experience that I had with Miss Honeybee, she's got RBF, even look at her, and resting bee face. Growing up, the only experience I had with Miss Honeybee was that that little bee, she stung me. Yes, as a child, I can remember swimming on multiple occasions, and the little black and yellow bee just flew up and stung me. See, because of what little Miss B did to me, I would often make every effort to attempt my whole life to kill that little bee. Before you judge me and get mad at me, and oh, poor, whatever. Before that little bee, before she got to me, it was get or get got. That's the kind of relationship that I had with female bees all my life. My wife would often try to stop me from killing bees with every excuse. Well, if you kill them, then the hive's going to come out. I'm like, I don't care. I don't like them. They did that to me. And so until recently, see, and here's what happened. I had to refuse to be tricked, and I'll call her my queen bee. I can't call her my bee. My queen bee defended another bee. Until recently, after researching this further, see, now, I now know I need to ask for forgiveness for poor little Mr. Honeybee. Mr. Honeybee, see, my eyes are opened. I want to tell you, I want to confess this morning, I'm enlightened, and I am sorry, Mr. Bee. Yes, I confess in my bitter and angry ways, I should have never taken your little fuzzy life. And I want to tell you, Mr. Honeybee, I'm sorry. See, the first thing I found out in my research, and the reason why Mr. Honeybee is innocent, so he's innocent and acquitted of all charges, is because the male honeybee doesn't even have a stinger. Google it. I didn't know that. Maybe you knew that. Maybe you're a bee expert. I'm not. A lot of innocent honey dudes doing their honey dudes were just innocent bystanders. This is the last time I'll say it. I'm sorry, Mr. Honeybee, because I was making you pay for what she did to me. Right? I didn't even realize it. And does that sound familiar in any of our relationships? You made somebody who was innocent pay for what the last person did to you. That's deep, right? You made your current friend pay for what the last friend did to you. You made your current boyfriend or girlfriend pay for what your last boyfriend or girlfriend did to you. You made your current husband or wife pay for what your last husband or wife did to you. You made your kids pay for what both or one of your parents did to you. You made your current church pay for what your last church did to you. So many times, the stings from our past shape things in our present. I'll say it again. So many times, the stings from our past shape things in our present. Let's keep moving. Just a few weeks ago, May 20th, was World Bee Day. I didn't know it existed. And I had a shift in how I saw all bees, females and male bees. And here's some quick facts about the honeybees. Honey made by honeybees is an antimicrobial agent that has been shown to speed up the healing of wounds. Now, a pound of honey is made by 2 million flower visits. 2 million flower visits. They work hard. And the honeybees work hard for us. The honeybee is the only insect in the entire world that produces food for humans. Only one. They make so much of it for us not them. Why? Because just 1 ounce of honey would fuel a bee's flight around the entire world. 1 ounce. Again, they make it primarily for us, not for them. Now, some of the reason why they may have stung me is because they may have been extremely grouchy. We often get stung by people that are grouchy. We often sting when we're grouchy as well, if we're honest. And with honeybees, this is very practical because honeybees never sleep. From the moment that they're born, they just keep going and going and going and going and going. See, when I see things like this, the power of a shift in my relationship with all honeybees had me actually go into a place of starting to save them instead of smashing them just last week. See, I thought this is a recent breakthrough. A recent breakthrough. What I would do is when I would see them stuck, and I've actually counted how many I've saved. I've saved 3 honeybees already. 3, yes. I have. True story. I help them out of the water when they're stuck. I throw them up on the side of the cool deck, and I just sit there and I blow their little wings, then they start flying, and then boom, they're out. See, that's true. True. Thank you for listening. The power of a shift. That's the power of having eyes to see. It's been my prayer all week for you and for me and for this entire series. This is it. God, please, please, Lord, give us a shift in how we see all of our relationships. Now, got to get to the bee. Bird will be quick. My preferred bird confession, and you hear the tone of my voice change just a little bit. I'm not quite there yet with these rats with wings. Just look at how he's looking at me. That's how I think he looks at me every morning when he's waiting for me to get out of my bed and come out of my house. And this one will be fast. Quick, funny story. As I was having this bee epiphany, I was actually driving home from the car wash at about 40 miles per hour. True story. And a pigeon tried to play a dangerous game of chicken with me. Okay? It flew straight at my car. And then at the last minute, he realized he wasn't going to win, so he tried to abort our friendly game of chicken at the last minute. But when he hit my Mercedes emblem, he slid across the hood of my car and got launched off to the side of the road. In a moment of transparency, I looked back in my rearview mirror. I saw my competitor flapping his wings, man down on the ground. My reaction wasn't remorseful at all. I was like, yes! One for me, because of what those pigeons had done to me. Now, all the times those pigeons crap on my life. They crap on my cars, they crap on my house, and then turn around and they eat all of my food, that seed that I put out annually to grow my beautiful winter grass. Who does that sound like? Yeah, it sounds like your kids. Sounds like my kids. Kids are like rats with no wings. They crap on us. They eat all of our food. That's what they do. I need therapy. I do. I know. Now, I had that incident, and then I'm driving home. I get home. Okay? True story. When I get home, I come to find out this Tuesday is National Pigeon Appreciation Day. Pigeons have their own holiday. Nope. I'm not kidding. June 13th, it's this Tuesday. We're going to celebrate at our staff meeting over at VC. Look it up. According to Google, it is believed that this day was chosen to honor pigeons, on which the famous pigeon, here he is, Cher Ami. That's his name. Cher, you could have named him Crap on Me, but his name's Cher Ami, which is French for dear friend. I'm not there yet to call him a dear friend because I'm telling you this because I know you care. I know this means a lot to you. He was actually donated by Britain to the U.S. Army Signal Corps in France during World War I. He was famous for delivering a message from an encircled battalion. They were encircled, and he delivered a message in October of 1918. Okay. Microshift, but it's a relationship in progress. I'm not there yet, but it's a start, and I'm working on it. Okay, now let me ask you this question. What was it that had me seeing both birds and bees and my relationships with them in such a negative light, through such a negative lens? What is it that has us seeing our relationships with different people and different groups through a negative lens? If we're honest, what makes us see people, God's creation, whom God loves dearly? What makes us see his beloved creation in a way that contradicts his heart toward them? Paul gives us the answer in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." Meaning we need spiritual eyes to see, because when the negative lens that we see through lies to us, what we see and how we see it is not what God sees and how God sees it. He goes on to say in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have the divine power." And I have been praying for divine power for our ministry team, divine power for our leaders this all week long. Divine power to destroy, some versions say to pull down, strongholds. Basically saying, not only are we seeing it wrong, but we're using the wrong weapons as well. Verse 5 unpacks strongholds further. It says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion." There's a lot of lofty opinions out there raised against, what do we measure it against? Against the knowledge of God, against the word of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And that leads me right into the title of my message today, Virtual Reality, Eyes to See. See, what's destroying us, what's destroying our relationships is a collective responsibility. No one's exempt. We all play a part. The enemy has us actually seeing through a lens that creates a virtual reality, a lens of partial truths, and many times lenses that are just flat out lying to us. Facts. Let's unpack this further. I want to spend a majority of our time today exposing what strongholds are in this passage that we just read. And I may pray throughout the service a few times, as I have been praying desperately for us, for me, all this week. Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see so that your truth will set us free. God, open our hearts. If you would raise your hand today and say, "God, I'm okay with you opening my heart. Help me to open my heart today. Examine us. Examine us like only you can do. Show us again, please, Lord. I'm okay if you give me eyes to see." Give us eyes to see this morning, Lord. Amen. Because no matter what we teach in the following weeks, no matter how much time we spend talking about relationships again and again and again and again, if we're seeing all this teaching through a virtual reality mode, if the truths that are meant to cause a shift in our relationships are being blocked by our inability to see truths, we will be guaranteed to miss all that God has for us in the coming weeks. This is serious, and please hear me on this. And I hope you hear the passion in my voice. This is so dang important. I want to ask you guys this morning, lean in. Lean in. Say, "God, speak this morning. Speak this morning to me. Your servant is listening." I'm going to spend the next 7 minutes unpacking enemy-issued stronghold symptoms, is what I'll call, okay? So mental strongholds, we see them every day. We see them every day. If you turn on your TV, if you watch the news, if you scroll through social media, there's a plethora of strongholds. They're basically things the enemy uses, number one, that darkness actually uses to keep us from perceiving what a truth is. So strongholds are like the air that you breathe, but the air is tainted. Strongholds are like rose-colored sunglasses, and they skew the color of everything that you look at. And here's the tough part is, the problem is, you don't even know you're wearing the sunglasses. You don't even know you're wearing the glasses. Strongholds make you war according to the flesh. We do this so many times. We've talked about this so many times. But I wanna pray that God would root the truths in us today. Sometimes we just go right through it. Praying, God, you would root your word and your people this morning in us. Now, they make you fight according to this phrase. I know what I see. I know what I see. You can't grab strongholds. You can't taste them. You can't see them. They're kind of like the wind. They're kind of like the wind. You see the evidence of their existence, but you just don't see the existence. You see the evidence of a stronghold, but you don't see the substance of a stronghold. So just like you see the leaves blowing on a tree, but you don't see what causes the leaves to move. You feel it brushing against your face, and you don't see the physicality of it brushing against your face. See, strongholds are quite elusive. They're quite elusive. They're attitudes that keep us from embracing Christ-likeness. We feel like we have a right to feel the way we feel. We feel we're justified in feeling the way we feel. We go about our days just self-justifying, and we become defensive in everything that we do. We say, look what they did to me. Look what they did to me. That's why I do this. Or just, they don't get it. They just don't understand. See, strongholds are areas of the mind where darkness reigns. Darkness reigns and we don't even know it. And as a result, spiritual perceptions grow very, very dim. Next one, strongholds darken your spiritual perception. Strongholds darken your spiritual perception. Nobody wants to have this said about them. They don't. And I know I don't want that to be said about me. But the Lord said this about the children of Israel as well. He said that they wandered in the wilderness. They wandered, and their perceptions were darkened, okay? So they had strongholds that they didn't tear down, and the result of that was that their perceptions, their ability to judge after the Spirit, their ability to recognize what was God and what wasn't God. You ever had a hard time knowing what was God and knowing what wasn't God? Their ability to discipline themselves and their light of recognition, it was gone because their perceptions were darkened. Again, strongholds darken your spiritual perceptions. Strongholds are systems and ideologies of logic, but they're rooted in a lie. Okay, they're rooted in a lie. And they're ones that we've come to believe that they're true, but it's really rooted in a lie. We can't see it. There's this habit of justification that actually forms it behind any habitual response, any addiction, fixation, any compulsion, any obsession, or any inordinate fear that overwhelms us. What happens is this. The enemy wants us to use real issues in our lives, and he wants to distort our present state of mind. Okay, strongholds, next up, often bring my past into my present. Well, often, the enemy will often take historical elements that you and I have gone through, real life situations, fears that have come from old churches, former marriages, former relationships, former pastors, or any number of different things that come from your past. He'll take the historical issues from your past, your childhood, and he'll superimpose them on your current environment, thus distorting what's going on in your present. And here's the end result. It perpetuates cycles in your life. And you'll find yourself going through cycles, 2-year cycles, 3-year cycles, 5-year cycles, whatever the length of the time that those cycles may be, you'll find yourself going through the same cycle over and over and over again. We call it insanity. And you'll be tempted to say, why does this keep happening to me? Why does it keep happening to me? If you find yourself doing that, that's the evidence. Like leaves of a tree blowing. That's the evidence of a stronghold's existence. Facts. And until that stronghold is pulled down, you'll keep going through that cycle over and over and over again. Finally, strongholds are thought patterns that oppose the Word of God. They twist Scripture to conform to our own self-serving premises. They're command posts in our lives which the enemy has access. See, a stronghold says this. A stronghold allows you to walk with God on one side and then walk with darkness on the other side. And on this side, you have something in common with darkness. And on this side, you have something in common with light. But you find yourself torn because really, just like God's word says, you can't serve two masters. And so you won't be able to remain that way for long. You'll end up heading into one direction or the other direction. Anything that does not align itself with God's will for you and I, anything that does not align itself with God's word, is a stronghold that needs to be pulled down. A stronghold is a place of darkness, and it defines something you have in common with darkness. The problem is this. It's not just that we have something in common with darkness, and hear me on this. It's that the commonality that we have with darkness allows darkness to have access to us. That's heavy. That's heavy. It allows darkness to have access to our lives. It allows darkness to have access to our families. It allows darkness to have access to our finances. It allows darkness to have access to our extended loved ones. It allows for darkness to have access to our business. It allows for darkness to have access to our job performance. Darkness enters in and to the degree that we have commonality with darkness, we allow darkness to have access to everything that we're doing. And we wonder why God isn't working on our behalf. That's heavy, right? That's heavy. And I want to tell you, it's not negative. This is your first time here. We usually don't go this deep this quick, but it's absolutely necessary for a permanent shift to happen. Strongholds ultimately destroy and deteriorate all of our relationships to different degrees. They provoke jealousy, envy, strife, anxiety, and depression in you and I. They provoke you to react to others in a way that even you don't understand why you responded the way that you did. They fragment attempted relationships, and they steal our sense of love, joy, acceptance, and our overall state of well-being. That's what they do. They allow for us to give begrudging love at best, conditional love, love with no strings attached. Strongholds distort the offense that we experience. They make it seem so much larger and so much more painful than it actually was. They cause us to see intent to hurt when there was no intent to hurt you at all. They keep us from forgiving others, and they're the major cause of bitterness growing in your life and in my life. They cause conflict, separation, divorce, and marriages that are operating on life support. In the church, they cause division, church splits. Now, there's never been a church split that didn't happen with being influenced by strongholds. The thing that keeps churches from growing are strongholds. See, because strongholds keep people from making decisions. Those empty seats around you, some people didn't make decisions to be here today. So they keep people from making decisions, which keep people from taking action, which make people not have commitment, which allows for people to do whatever they see is right in their own eyes. Sounds familiar. It reminds me of the story of Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and all the way to chapter 21 are dedicated to Jehoshaphat's reign. Now, we don't have time to go into the whole story today, but I'm going to give you a summary. So King Jehoshaphat, gotta love that name. King Jehoshaphat did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He didn't follow after King Ahab, but he followed after David. He did all the things that God wanted him to do, and Israel actually began to prosper to some degree. But Scripture goes on to say he didn't totally prosper because the heart of the people had not yet been set to serve God. Do you feel that? Doesn't that sound familiar to us? What leader have you known that they did their best to fight for those that they led and do it all right? That did their best to live and lead according to God's word, and yet the people they were leading, their hearts had not yet been set to serve God. I think it's something that many pastors would echo. Therefore, they only ever experienced and partially prospered, partial prosperity in their relationships with God, partial prosperity in their relationships with each other. It's not God's best. And it's rooted in various types of strongholds. I read this in one of my Bible devotions recently, and it said this. It said, yes, Jesus said that if you believe in him, you'd be saved. Right? Most of us believe that. Believe in him, you'd be saved. In the original language the Bible was written in, the word used for believe meant to completely adhere to. See, when Jesus urged people to believe in him, he was passionately pleading with them to completely dedicate their lives to him. Heavy message. And I know I wanted to cast a wide net, but here's the shift. Watch this. He wants us to completely adhere to him because he wants to be our stronghold. Psalm 9:9-10 says this, the Lord, Psalm 9, there it is, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. A stronghold in and of itself is ambiguous. It's ambiguous. A stronghold is like a double-edged sword. A double-edged sword actually has two sides, just like a stronghold has two different places that you can reside. Let me give you a quick illustration. And it may be corny to some of you, but I want you to remember it. Okay, we've got two modes. We've got VR mode, virtual reality mode, and we've got God's reality mode, GR mode. See, now, VR mode, these are the two different ones. VR mode is my prison. GR mode is my safe place. VR mode is my hell. GR mode is my high place. VR mode is a place of torment. GR mode is my tower for my strength. VR mode is my place that destroys me. GR mode is a place that defends me. See, the fruit of my life, good fruit or bad fruit, either one. I don't want to drop either one of these because these aren't mine and I don't want to have to pay for them. The fruit of my life, good fruit or bad fruit, it's all dependent on which stronghold I spend the most time. The fruit of my life, good fruit or bad fruit, is all dependent on the source of my strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 5. Let's read it one more time. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. See, and I love this because Jesus left us with a perfect example. In one of his weakest moments, he showed us what spiritual warfare looks like firsthand. He showed us what the divine power that he got from his Father and what he was going to do with it and how he used it to pull down and destroy the strongholds of the devil. He shows us how GR mode destroys lofty VR mode opinions. He shows us how GR modes takes every VR thought captive. I'm landing the plane. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Here we go. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. Here we go. Here we go. This is the spiritual showdown in the desert that many of you know, but I want to show you this. Stronghold number one. VR mode activated. VR mode activated. I got to be able to see my screen still. VR mode activated. During that time, the devil came and he said to him, he showed Jesus. He spoke to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus looked. Said, nah, I recognize that. Stronghold number one, defense. GR mode activated. But Jesus told him, I only see what I see. I only do what I see the Father doing. I see what God has shown me. And the scriptures say, please hear me. People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Boom! 1-0, Jesus. Stronghold number two. This is our lives. VR mode activated. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. And here's where he twists it, because we know he'll take scripture and twist it. He's like, okay, Jesus, you want to play that scripture mode? I got you. For scripture says, Jesus. So he uses scripture, the wrong scripture, in the wrong circumstance. And he says, scripture says, how many times does the enemy do this to us? He will order his angels to protect you, Jesus, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus looks. He sees, he's like, nah, I recognize that as well. GR mode activated. Jesus responded, Mr. Scripture, you want to talk scripture? The scripture also says that you must not test the Lord your God. Boom, 2-0, Jesus. Amen? So far, so good. Stronghold number three, VR mode activated. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So Jesus is seeing this. And don't we know, it's easy to see in the story, but when he says, you can, here's what he says, I will give it all to you if you kneel down and worship me. And you got to know that Jesus was sitting. He had to think for a minute because he said, you can have all of this. And I think if a lot of us are honest, this is us. We want all of that. When we scroll through social media and we see the things that people have and how many followers they have and what they're doing, the enemy says, listen, if you bow to me, I'll give you all of that. I'll give it to you all. I'll give it all to you. if you kneel down and worship me. I think in this humanity, Jesus was like, dang. Nah. Stronghold number 3, activated. GR mode activated. And then Jesus, he turns it up and he says, get out of here, Satan. Get out of here, Jesus told him. Back to the scriptures. He knew his scripture because he spent much time in the stronghold of GR mode. He says, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. See, he'll make one attempt, two attempts, three attempts, but when he realizes that we are rooted and anchored, that our anchors come from GR mode, from the places that we spend with God, from those safe places, from these places, we wonder why we feel different when we walk out of here, because we've been in GR mode. We've been here. We've seen this, and this doesn't make sense. Like leaves in a tree blowing. I don't know why I feel different when I left. I don't know why I feel different than when I showed up. But something happened in there. That is the power of GR mode. See, final score, 3-0, Jesus. And he overcame, and in him I can overcome. He overcame, and in him you can overcome. Amen? Amen. Band, if you would come on up. Yes, that's what. Band, if you would come on up and help me close this out. Stand with me as we close. Lord, we asked you earlier, multiple times, that you give us eyes to see so that your truth would set us free. And Lord, we also asked you earlier to open our hearts to your word. Your word is living. God, we ask that your word would, we said, you gave you permission to say, examine us. We gave you permission to expose us, to show us and give us eyes to see. Lord, as your word went forth, we ask that it would not return void. That's what we asked. And even the one that's thinking about getting up and leaving right now, walking out, because that familiar tension that we feel, God, I pray that you would settle them in. Lord, you say this is a spiritual battle and our weapons have divine power. Lord, let this word today be and do what only your spirit can do. It's not by our might, not by our strength, but by your spirit, Lord. We know that you inhabit the praises of your people. You reside in our worship. Let us sing like a desperate people. A people that are desperate for change. A people that are humbled by your presence. A people that believe that just one shift can send our relationships with you and with others through this entire series to a place that we never thought would be possible. God, let us cry out in praise during this last song. Let us let loose like we're desperate. God, let us cry out to you in praise for our families, for our children. God, let us cry out for praise in praise for each other. We know that when we send praises up to you, that your spirit comes down even stronger like the wind. We declare victories today. Some will be immediate and some will be major shifts and some will come in the future. But we declare today you will in your time. We trust for your victory because we know that the battle belongs to you. Lord, sing like you're desperate this morning. If the ministry team would please come forward to the front. I know some of you guys have already planned to be up here. Prayer for ourselves is effective. But sometimes we need someone to pray for us. Amen? Sometimes we need someone to pray for us. And no matter what you're going through today, I want to encourage you. Our ministry team, they would love to serve you by praying for you today. I want you to hear me in this. Please do not leave the sanctuary. Don't leave those doors without having somebody pray for you if you need it. What's interesting is, as I prepared this message, this marks my 4-year anniversary for my greatest anxiety attacks that I've had and I experienced some stuff this week. They say you pray for patience. Be careful. Every time I try and speak in strongholds, I just know I'm going to get it. It blindsided me. I prayed. My son Isaac came and he saw me in a state. My family saw me in a state all these last 2 days that like, man, I had everything in me. Took everything in me to make it here today. And so I want to say that to encourage you. Because there are times where I didn't feel as though, even in my strength, that I was limited. I want to encourage you today to get your butt up here up front and let somebody pray for you. Because it's when my son, who didn't know the right words to say, didn't know what to say, he just laid his hands, he saw his dad in need, and he prayed. And immediately I went from VR mode, took me to GR mode. And some of us need today, we maybe need someone to take our hand and bring us up and say, let's go to GR mode. Let's tear this thing down that's been tearing you up. Please don't leave without getting what you need. Two last things. Don't forget. Save your spot. Make sure you drop these off on your way out. The Wednesday night cars, drop them off at the bucket on the way out. And Sunday fun day, the Father's Day experience is next week. Trust me. Please trust me. You don't want to miss what we're going to do. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. Be with your people as they go, Lord. Thank you for your word. Give courage to the one who needs to come. And take them to GR mode. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. We will see you next Sunday.